Caller here. Caller, you have to hear this, and then Dave's going to leave for a little bit. So we have the new version of Walking Dog across the street. Legendary place. A friend, Dave Magnuson, owned it for a long time. It's come back now. I brought in very healthy chicken I made last night and a sweet potato. Then we started talking about maybe a Chicago Polish, and I said, okay, I'm going to run over there top of the hour. I go there. They're out of a Polish, unfortunately. That happens. And so then I decided, what can I get that would bug Harrigan? And I got him a cheddar brat, and he's just disgusted right now. He's almost lost the will to live. Where do you stand on a cheddar brat?
Well, I haven't had lunch today yet, so I would love one. I'm going to tell you the truth. I am a despicable eater. I mean, just in general. I will eat almost anything. I tend to lean a lot toward fast food or things that every food pyramid said you should stay away from. So something like, I love cheese, love brats, put them together, that's perfectly fine. It's kind of difficult to find something that I just straight up won't eat. So that sounds wonderful.
Do you ever at home make a meal? Like, or is it just, hey, what fast food is on the way home?
I am not great at making things. My wife is very, very good at it. Schedule-wise, we struggle sometimes to cook at home. But, I mean, I'll just have, if I'm cooking for myself, I'll make myself some hot dogs or soup or whatever, warm up some cold pizza. It's bad.
It's terrible.
I mean, if you're, I can make myself like a chicken quesadilla with a little cheese, a little tortilla mixed in there. But mostly, I'm just pathetic at this. I can't believe I'm still living the way that I eat.
And you're fit and healthy, at least from the outside. I mean, inside, Harrigan, what could be going on?
Well, he's clearly a dumpster inside. Just whatever it is, just throw it in. He'll inhale it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that I exercise a fair amount. I jog, I play basketball, I play golf, and if you're also enraged all the time at your golf, I feel like you're burning calories, I swear it.
Yeah.
Angry. So that's how I try to justify it. When I eat like a Pizza Hut pizza and wings, then I'll be like, I'll just go for a jog, and I'm good. And so far, that's done okay. I can't imagine that my heart would agree with that.
No.
But
no.
But I feel good like when I look in the mirror still. That's all I need.
Speaking of cooking, what did you think about Kwesi and the acquisition of Cam Robinson?
Well, I thought it was a tremendous job. I mean, I don't know how often you can get a starting left tackle in the middle of the season who has a track record of being a pretty good player. Now, this is not Christian Darrisaw. Everyone needs to make sure they're clear on that. This man will actually get beat sometimes, unlike Darrisaw, where if it happens once in a game, we're shocked. But Robinson has been a good pass blocker, a well above average pass blocker for the last four or five seasons. He is nowhere near the run blocker of Christian Darrisaw. I mean, we've just gotten used to how incredible Darrisaw is over there, and you just forget about it. This is not the same caliber of athlete of Christian Darrisaw. I don't think that he has the same level of kind of sandpaper, if you will, to use a hockey term, of Darrisaw. But he's going to protect Sam Darnold's blindside, and that was really the goal here. And when you look at what they gave up, somebody initially brought up Cam Robinson before they traded for him, and my reaction was, well, I don't know how you're going to get him.
Yep.
Because how are you going to give up enough to get a starting left tackle? The trade market has been very much a buyer's market. Amari Cooper didn't go for very much. I mean, the trade for Deontay Johnson, who's a good receiver from Carolina, who ends up going to Baltimore, they paid pennies on the dollar for him. So they have to consider that, you know, maybe after this week, there could be 7, 8, 9 teams in the NFL that are selling, which could make available some players that normally you wouldn't expect for a team that doesn't have a lot of draft capital. So to not give up almost any draft capital, I thought was really excellent. And it allows their offense to keep doing mostly what it was doing.
Does he start Sunday night?
I think so. I think it helps that it's Sunday night, a little more preparation time. I also, for a guy that's been in the league for this long, I think he knows how to digest a single game plan. And if there was any position that you could just throw somebody in, I think left tackle is it. Of course, Kevin O'Connell would not reveal their plans, because imagine if you told the Indianapolis Colts that the that this starting left tackle you just acquired is going to start. But, you know, I think that for that position, can you get by 1 week and then try to work through the back end of him understanding the whole offense? You're also at home, which I think really helps for communication. So if he doesn't understand something, the left guard could just say, hey, buddy, just block the defensive end. I think that that's going to be pretty much fine. I don't think it's one of the harder positions. And we've also seen this in the league a lot over the years, which I think is one of the increases for trades, is that, you know, players go to another team. Amari Cooper caught a touchdown on a play where he wasn't sure where to run, and one of his teammates just said, run straight, and he caught a touchdown.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so let's talk.
Figure it out.
Yeah, and you were asked about this in the mailbag today. Let's talk Addison and Jefferson, because Jefferson has been targeted through seven games, the fewest amount of time since his rookie year, and rookie year he didn't start. The first two games, Addison has not been targeted much. You laid out the data about how different it is throwing first down. Play that out, and is this the type of game where they can get Jefferson at a higher involvement and also Addison, and where would that leave Hockenson? And then the balance of running. How does this all mesh, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that, number one, they were not trailing at all in the first five games. And when you're ahead, you're just playing differently. So they have run on first down way, way more often. Also, Aaron Jones is good at football, and that was not the case for the backfield the last few years. But I think that the score dictated a lot of the volume for Sam Darnold. And then the fact that the Lions and the Rams had been on the field the whole game, it felt like, the last 2 weeks, they just didn't run a lot of plays. That Jordan Addison has actually received the same percentage of completions in his direction as last year. It's just that they haven't thrown as many passes. And I think what we're going to see is, and this is also based on some comments by Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell the last 2 days, I really think they're going to try to get the ball out of Sam Darnold's hands fast, get him throwing on first down, get the offense into a rhythm. And look, I mean, Jordan Addison, whenever a wide receiver posts something online, we just have to shoot up the flares. What's going on? Right. Is this a trade request? And I did the same thing as everyone else. He needs the ball. Like, he's a first-round talent. He's a good player. Don't let the off-field stuff influence the way you feel about how he catches a football and runs routes, because he's been getting separation. You can see it on tape. He's got opportunities open when he's out there. They just need to find ways to get him the ball. I would like to see Sam Darnold throw 35 to 40 passes in this game. But if you only run 50 plays like they did against the Rams, you can't run, you know, 40 passes. So I think there's a bunch of things that go together, and especially the penalties. Penalties have been ruining drives.
Yeah, right.
And I asked O'Connell about that earlier today, and he said that it's just reading between the lines of a very long O'Connell answer that – they were putting a lot on Sam Darnold's plate. And I think that goes in alignments, multiple play calls, motions, all those things. And they really want to try to pare some of that down, to run similar stuff without making it so complicated, because that's what runs the clock down and get the delay of games, or guys get false starts. Just asking for too much maybe from Darnold on some of those things. And I think O'Connell was maybe self-aware enough to say, all right, I've been putting a little too much on him the last couple of weeks. I've got to dial that back. Now, I have to see it, because O'Connell hasn't done that before.
Right.
So, but at least the idea is there, and I think he's identified a thing that's ruined a lot of drives.
During this break, you'll have a cheeseburger, hot dog, and a what are you, a diet Dr. Pepper? Is that you're drinking in?
Yeah, I mean, I got it. When I'm eating all that stuff, I got to go diet soda, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's when you show some discipline right there. Matthew Collar, the brains behind Purple Insider. And we come back, Blake Cashman out again, Joe Flacco in, and a little Caitlin Clark talk also. We come back, Collar here on CCO. Purple Insider.football. That's where today's story is all week. Instant reaction to Sunday night's game. It's a must consumption if you care about the Vikings. Blake Cashman is out for a third straight game. You were out there. Do you get the sense that we're looking at Blake Cashman next week? Are we talking multiple weeks? Turf toe. We can go example after example. It rarely is a short time. And if he comes back next week, it's a month. And then just talk about what adjustments they can make without him. Because so far, to some level, it has been very clear they have missed him.
Oh, yeah. I wish they wouldn't call it turf toe because that makes it sound sort of funny. It's a very painful injury. It does always take a really long time for guys to come back to that. And you think about how Cashman plays. He's got to plant that foot in the ground and explode off of it. If you can't do that, then he can't be the same player. So you'd rather have him wait and be healthier. It's a little hard to say about how they've made up for him. I think it's been a massive loss. I think he's been the most valuable player on the defense because he's the one communicating with Brian Flores and then setting up the defense, making changes. And Ivan Pace just doesn't have the level of experience of Cashman. And also, he's a huge guy who's really fast, which helps in the run game, but he covers a ton of ground in coverage. They also face two great offensive minds, two great quarterbacks over the last 2 weeks. I don't think that Shane Steichen and Joe Flacco are quite on the same level, but there's no question they're going to try to copy all the same stuff that we saw over the last 2 weeks, which does attack that linebacker area. So I wonder about dialing back some of the blitzes a little bit, trying to cover the middle of the field a little bit more, trying to keep Ivan Pace more available to run down bubble screens and things like that, those short passes that have really worked for the last two opponents. But, I mean, as far as a prognosis, it's hard to say. O'Connell, you know, he's always optimistic about guys' health.
Yes, he is.
I'm positive he could come back this week, next week. I just don't know. I mean, you can't really tell from that. I would guess maybe next week we could see him back, but he needs to be at 100% before he comes back. I don't think for a linebacker that's an injury where you go, come on, man, just fight through it. Not with that one.
Okay, the Colts' decision has been discussed a fair amount, but the two of us have not. You have Flacco coming back, and Joe Flacco's had a very impressive career. Obviously, his sadly days with the Baltimore Ravens, but then a bit of a renaissance last year, to say the least, with the Browns. You had Anthony Richardson tapping out of the game. He has not lived up to the hype so far, but he missed almost all last year due to an injury. What is your sense about the Flacco skill set, which is still there, against this team? And you laid it out a little bit in the answer, but just also the decision to put Richardson back on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way it's hard because you can't put one foot in and one foot out with a young player. You can't, like Carolina did. Well, you're going to play, but we're not going to let you fight through the tough times. I think that they probably should look at what Buffalo did with Josh Allen and his first 10 starts and how bad he was throwing the football and how often he was turning it over, and he just fought through it and found his way. They instead decide not to do that. But also the other approach would be to sit a guy and develop him behind the scenes every day with your coaches and with learning how to be a pro quarterback and not tap out. That was a really bad thing to do no matter what. You'd rather take a delay a game. You would rather call a timeout, anything. Don't leave the field if you're the starting quarterback as long as you're healthy. That was not good. But also, he's younger than Shedeur Sanders, who's going to be a top quarterback in next year's draft. I really think that Indianapolis botched that one by even putting him in there and not letting him learn like Jordan Love or Mahomes or the other raw players. But from a Sunday night perspective, it's bad for the Vikings. There's no doubt about it. Joe Flacco is not intimidated by stadium noise. He is not confused and baffled by blitzes. He understands how to identify, how to find his hot routes, how to execute an offense, and he's been efficient with them. I think the one area where it does help the Vikings is in the run game. Jonathan Taylor, Gopher fans know how good Jonathan Taylor is, but he's not the same without the quarterback running those. They built their whole offense around a quarterback running and then the option of giving it to the running back. Obviously, Joe Flacco's not running anywhere, so there's a little bit of push and pull to that. But Flacco being a veteran quarterback, I think the Vikings defensively have to approach this very different than what they would have with Richardson, where they would have been able to just confuse him at the line of scrimmage, intercept the football, profit. Like, this is going to be a little more intricate, I think, in dealing with Flacco.
Okay, let's talk women's basketball here. Let's talk about this league, Unrivaled, which has been out there for a little bit. Nafis Collier is one of the co-founders of this. They've upped the number of players to 36. Story out there today how they've continued to pursue Caitlin Clark, including an offer believed to be worth over $1 million. This is three-on-three basketball. Three-on-three is becoming more prominent by the day, including in the Olympics. You have among the stars, the best player in the league, A.J. Wilson, is not committed either, but most prominent players have. What is your sense in the end of their push for Clark, the offer for Clark? What is your sense about how this might play? It's appealing, but maybe I'm just too much of a traditionalist, and we both thoroughly enjoy basketball. I just don't like 3-on-3 nearly as much as I like 5-on-5. What is your sense about Clark and this league and your either optimism or maybe negativity towards where this league might be going?
Yeah, I think based on what I saw from the TV contract, sounds like it's going to be fairly significant. If I was Caitlin Clark, I would say you're going to have to up that offer quite a bit more, because she knows that if she plays, the audience is built in that's going to come along with her. There's an entire state that comes along with her of Iowa for anything she's doing, but also
might be two
media.
Now, right? Yeah, down in Indiana, right?
But two states. But the media also comes with her.
Yeah,
it's not just
no doubt.
It's not just her and her fans. It's also all the media will flock to anything that she's doing, because I mean, heck, during the WNBA finals, there were three headlines about the Lynx, and there were three and Liberty, and there were three headlines on ESPN's main page about Caitlin Clark golfing. Like, that's how much they want Caitlin Clark's name on ESPN and and media outlets. So I think that they probably owe her more money than that if she's going to get involved. I think it's a great idea, but the execution is going to be key. How entertaining is it really? Because, you know, Ice Cube's league, and Sloan called a few of these games on TV, it was a struggle. It was a struggle to watch. I mean, if it's not done well and the players aren't great. Now, they are getting an all-star team's worth of players, so that could be a difference maker there for the entertainment value. I've struggled to get involved with side leagues, even as much as I love football. I will watch some UFL. I can't watch all UFL, and I don't know if it's going to be the same kind of thing, because these are the star players. I guess we'll see. They all have kind of big brands themselves, and if they get Wilson, but I know they've got Aaliyah Boston, you know, and Fee is a big name. So I guess I'm more curious. I haven't seen things like this work out that well.
No,
but
I'm with
if
you.
If they get enough attention for it, and if it's actually really good, because they're kind of doing more of a full court 3-on-3 than a half court thing.
Okay, that's better.
Could be interesting. Yeah, it could be interesting.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good luck. Good luck with that diet.
And I'm on tonight, 6 to 9.
Oh, you're in for H Lake. Excellent. Do you have any guests we should plug?
Dane Moore on Wolves.
Yep.
And that's it right now. I got to get to work.
3 hours of Dane. That's good. Well, he can, because the game's probably not going to start till 8:50. So bonus, bonus Dane, and you can break down your favorite fast food items. By the way, you'd get plenty of reaction for that if you did. That would work. As we talked over each other and just made that really uncomfortable at the end. Dave, how comfortable was that to listen to?
I'm shaking right now.
Yeah,
I
felt very awkward.
Mom and dad are fighting again.
See you, caller.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Matthew Collar. Shaletta. And also we get back to Donald Trump a little bit, because we talked some Trump in the Cheney soundbite from last night. Donald has added more, piling on Liz Cheney, or potentially clarifying. Do you want to say clarifying? I'm going to go piling on myself. We'll give you a little bit of that as we lead into Shaletta in moments. We talked about this for a full segment with Major when Major started the show. Major normally 12:35. We're kind of bouncing things around today. But last night, Donald Trump is with Tucker Carlson. Wide variety of normal Carlson Trump comments. And it gets to Liz Cheney, who he criticizes all the time. By the way, Liz Cheney criticizes him all the time. And this is a part of what he said about Liz Cheney.
I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy.
When he constantly demeans, criticizes, mocks, and uses violent rhetoric, and he does all that every single day, he is going to cause people to react, and in some cases, overreact. For the folks who are saying, by the way, and if anybody thinks I'm a big Donald Trump supporter, you're paying zero attention. I won't spend a split second. Consider a vote for him. But in this one, he is not talking about executing Liz Cheney. He's making the war hawk comment, which has been made by others, but because he does it in such an evocative, negative, over-the-top way, some just love it, some think it's vile. Now, this is a guy who's brought up treason and facing death when he's talking about the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley. And we know I'm enemy within and all the stuff he said. But no, I do not believe he was calling for the execution of Liz Cheney. So then it's become a story. And by the way, you can agree or disagree. 651-461-9226. So then he clarifies on Truth Social and partially what he's saying. All I'm saying about Liz Cheney is that she is a war hawk and a dumb one at that. Can't everybody disagrees with him is dumb. But she wouldn't have the guts to fight for herself. It's easy for her to talk, sitting far from where the death scenes take place, but put a gun in her hand and let her go fight, and she'll say, no thanks. We've had a lot of debates on that, Dave, in our country about individuals who are quick to push war. And would they feel the same way if it was them or their kids? Should Donald Trump, who had 5 deferments in the 60s, be the one to say, doesn't have the guts to fight herself? Doesn't, again, isn't he looking a little hypocritical here?
Bone spurs are a serious issue, Chad.
Yeah. 5 deferments for bone spurs, and then he's going with the guts part? I'm not, I mean, again, it's him, but it's also easy for somebody to say, hello?
There's a touch of pot meat kettle.
Yeah, exactly. He brought that on himself and didn't realize it. Shaletta, next. Here we go again, Dave. It's Friday. She used to come in. She used to be right here at 105. Now she's probably had 7 different meetings. Who knows the quality of the cell phone? We had to switch guests around because here she is later in the day. Okay, so maybe Dave and I get to be the evaluators. Dave, are you prepared? Maybe a letter grade here. So let's just go. If the schedule had to change because of the kids, A+, right, on Shaletta's excuse. If she was on with Common or she was on with Kathy Werzer, that would be an F. If she's making money, what letter grade would that be for you, Dave?
Depends how much she's making.
Yeah, and what taste we get.
Yeah, how is she making that money, too? That would help.
Okay.
You know, is she just writing her almanac dissertation for the evening?
Yeah, that's very possible, right? Because normally she comes out and mentions all of her other appearances. I don't ever hear, like on these other shows, where she must, and I'm also on the Chad Hartman Show every Friday at 105.
That's because you can't say the time. You know, you WCCO people, you are always complaining. This is the same thing I get from Brad, one of the bosses. I can't figure out the org chart right now because it keeps changing. But he said the same thing. Something happened and you guys were doing something. I was like, hey, y'all didn't mention me. Am I not a part of the program? He was like, well, whenever you're out and doing things and they're mentioning you in stories, you know, you never say that you work with CCO Radio.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's down on the list somewhere. If the people choose not to publish it, it's not my fault. I mean, it's 10th. Y'all are like 9th or 10th.
Put her on hold.
You know, before I put her on hold.
Should we just move on? I mean, what do you think?
I'm too afraid to say that.
I am also. Okay, put it back on. Okay, I'm afraid. That's a very good point. Whatever you want to say, we agree. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I know what y'all are driving. Y'all know. Look, like I said, you know, before the $1 million, y'all were very important. Y'all were probably number one or two. After I made the $1 million, heading toward 10, y'all are like 9th, 10th on the list. I mean, you know, something about money makes you treat your friends differently. I mean, honestly, can we be honest about it?
Yeah, I'm not. How soon are we no longer friends? Dave, where do you think we are in the, and by the way, these are air quotes, friends situation?
I think you're pretty close to the never been friends, actually.
Yeah.
And who is he anyway? Yeah, and who is he anyway?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so what age do you clock when you need a mid-afternoon nap? Like, is there a certain, like, my body is doing some stuff that I've never seen before? Like, I could just go all day and all night just running and meetings and meeting and people and speaking and doing all those things and then kids and bathing and cooking and laundry and then keep going. And now about 2 o'clock every day, I'm yawning. I need an afternoon nap. And if I sleep from 2 to 3, I'm good. But if I don't get my 2 to 3,
who are
I'm
you?
A little cranky.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Well, you're cranky.
I have no idea.
You're cranky every day. So let's not act like that has been changed. Dave,
that
it's kind of sad.
That happened at 52. Did anybody else experience this at 52? No.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Sad.
Okay.
Dave, it's when the greats are slipping. It's not easy to watch, right, Dave? It's tough. So are you intimating that you we're getting you 2:35 because you napped 1 to 2?
No, I'm not saying I napped 1 to 2. I'm saying I nodded off from 1 to 2, and I needed that rest because I'm hosting the Frasier Gala tonight, and the reason that I'm hosting it for the third year in a row is because I have broken their fundraising records every year. That's what I do when I host things. I break fundraising records, and so I needed to, like, rest up before I head downtown so that I could be on 10, because they're expecting me to be on 10. If I don't get that nap, I'm on like 8.5, which is somebody else's 10, but it's not my 10.
Is it possible that for the Frasier event, an amazing organization, by the way, and thank you for helping. They help, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people on a regular basis. It's amazing what Frasier does. Is it possible they'll, like, go to you at the podium and you'll be nodding off? I mean, you're... I mean, normally they want people to be viable and available for the entire event.
Yes, and it is a long one. Like, I'll be on stage until 10, and then, you know, we have a little party after, and I'm going to be there. And, you know, so I said, I got to take me a nap. I got to take a nap from 1 to 2 so that I could do your show at 2:30 so that I could be on 10 at 5 o'clock for the gala at the Depot. I mean,
oh, it's an early one.
Yeah, it's an early one. So I don't know. I mean, nobody else has experienced this. I guess not. Because now I'm telling you, at 52, I got to get a nap in every day. Mm. Every day. Mm. If I don't get my nap, I'm scheduling it. It's like an appointment. It's like a meeting.
Are you encouraging the youngsters to nap also, to join the fray with you?
No. Y'all need to keep working. Y'all haven't lived long enough. Y'all got to pay some dues. You got to pay some dues. But I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. I don't know if it's menopause. I don't know if it's the weather. But I'm telling you, it's probably been about 4 months now where I'm like, I got to get a nap in. Otherwise, I'm not gonna be able to clock in for my third shift.
If Donald Trump wins, he is going to, according to Donald Trump and RFK, he's going to put RFK in charge of really the overall health of the United States of America. Pretty much every part of health.
RFK. Is this the bear killer?
Yeah, this is the bear killer. This is a guy who...
I just wanted to make sure we want to talk about a different RFK.
Yeah.
The bear killer RFK.
This is RFK Jr. This is a guy who says, no, I'm not against vaccines, but then criticizes vaccine after vaccine after vaccine, and also continues to cite that vaccines cause autism.
And is this the one whose parents, I mean, not parents, but his family members had to write a letter to say, hey, he's not even with us.
They are not
look over here.
They are not with him. And we both are parents of autistic children.
Yes,
and
we
are. And I know there are many, many people who believe their children, after the MMR vaccine changed, and they believe that. And I want all children to reach the maximum happiness, joy, mm-hmm. and opportunities mm-hmm. they can get to, right?
Yes, sir.
And I just go back to this. The overwhelming number of studies by credible outlets continue
real doctors.
To mm-hmm. show that autism doesn't happen after vaccines. Period. Full stop. And he cited for years this Wakefield study, which was proven erroneous.
Bogus.
Bogus and insulting. There are other studies that have been cited and disproven. He gives me incredible concern if he becomes the czar of our overall health. Does he have some ideas that I look at on emphasis of better health and some issues? But he buys RFK Jr. into so many disproven conspiratorial areas that I think is frightening, and I think it's troubling the number of other people who are buying in on the utter nonsense this guy says on a regular basis.
Okay, so was there not anybody else ahead of him in line? How did he skip that line? That Donald Trump has talked to numerous doctors and other people in healthcare, and he settled on this guy? How did that happen? That's what I would like to know.
For votes. That's all it was. It was votes, you know, because he was running, and he thought he could help a little bit. And maybe, who knows? Maybe he still plays a small part, but I mean, just on the vaccine part, I find it insulting. I find it sad. And again, I only because of our own life experiences and then decency and compassion, empathy. I feel for you if you're in this battle, but the proven studies over and over and mm-hmm. over again show this doesn't happen. That from the MMR vaccine, that autism doesn't happen. And Dave found a story recently, I see him often, that when you add this belief and then you add COVID and the divide in our country, the mm-hmm. number of people who are now vaccine skeptics has jumped enormously, and that should trouble every single one of us.
And look what it's doing in the schools. Look how diseases that we once thought we wouldn't have to worry about are popping up in clusters at schools across the country. And, you know, it's frightening because these kids are in class with our kids. And, you know, if you have a child who has some health issues and there's another child in the classroom and you know, they may have a disease that, you know, may put them down for a week and our children down forever. And when you start thinking about the implications of this, it's not just what this man thinks or what he believes or, you know, or what he says to be true, even though we know it's not true. But it's the overall impact of the health and well-being of not just us, but vulnerable
That's
children.
It.
He
That's
can say
it.
Whatever he wants about grown-ups. But when he starts talking about vulnerable children and what should or shouldn't happen, knowing he does not have the qualifications to do so, knowing that he influences millions of people, then it starts impacting the health and well-being of children. And the last thing we want to see is children dying because of disinformation.
I'm going to leave you with this because I'm assuming you need one more nap.
One more.
Blois was at the Minneapolis club. He shares with me via text, and he was disappointed he did not see. Why were you not at the Minneapolis club? Do we still have billing issues?
we put a payment on layaway over there. And so we'll put a little something on it. We put five on it earlier this week, and I think my check cleared the bank for Odyssey today. And so I will make sure to make that final payment. But I can't just be showing my face if I have not paid these people their money, because they're going to be looking at me with their hand out, scratching it, waiting on their final payment. And so
Would you like me to protest after the show, bring back Shaletta? And just... Dave, are you with me with bring back Shaletta?
I want my GoFundMe.
Of course you do.
For my Minneapolis club dudes.
$10 million.
So I can hang out with my rich white people.
It shouldn't be a problem. $10 million. Should be pocket change. All right, good luck with Frazier. Raise a crazy amount of money tonight.
Whoop whoop. Love you guys.
Shaletta. Jason next. So at some point fairly recently, you met someone. Great tune, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And when you said hello and said your name, they did not say
correct
their name back to you.
It would be, I would like to start this as a WCCO radio project. If we could get everyone in Western Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah. When Iowa dead you?
Do they listen to us in Iowa? I don't care what those people do.
Yeah.
So when I say, hi, I'm Jason, that is your cue to respond with your name.
Yeah.
What I'm really saying with hi, I'm Jason is I don't remember your name or I don't know your name.
Yeah.
And obviously I expect you know who I am. Well, I'm just introducing my name as part of this.
Yeah.
This is the social contract.
I'm a TV radio star.
Very famous.
Famous influence. Do you think more often than not the person who does this thinks they're famous?
Maybe.
Or... they don't want to talk to you.
No.
Or they just made a mistake.
I think people just don't get it. That's
wow,
how that's
they don't know
to
what to say their name?
That you're supposed to say your name.
Dave, is it possible they just want to end this as quickly as possible?
Maybe they just forgot their name. They saw you and their mind just went blank.
Mesmerized.
Oh.
Look at his
Can't
skin.
Rule it out. Can't rule
Where
it out.
Where is Tareen?